I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for murders that defy explanation, mystery seeking exploration, and shocking secrets that will leave you breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops. And neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
These men and women are just doing their jobs.
All right.
Important jobs.
Oh, yeah, you need them.
Without them, we don't get where we're going,
mm-hmm.
and our cars would pay dearly. But this letter and some things in the news the last couple of months might be a warning bell.
Oh.
That, Tommy, for some reason, folks have a deep-seated anger towards these folks making a living, slowing things down.
Yeah.
For our benefit.
Okay.
You're hanging out in the break room, Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. It's Wednesday, it's 8 o'clock. It's time for Hate Mail of the Week. And about 2 weeks ago, we told you a bizarre story that happened just east of us. A 43-year-old man was arrested after police say he came upon a construction, flagger.
Yeah.
You know, go this way, go that way, stop, whatever. The flagger tried to get him to stop, but police say the man did not. It created a, quote, dangerous situation.
Yeah.
This led to an argument between the man and the flagger. And apparently, at some point, this man allegedly got out of his car.
So he did stop eventually.
Yeah. But he stopped to allegedly hit the flagger.
So he attempted to assault the flagger.
It sounds like he did assault the flagger the allegations are true.
Mm.
What makes it worse, the 43-year-old man, the alleged assaultee, was driving without a license.
Hey, look at that.
He was arrested, charged with a whole bunch of stuff. And that discussion ended up being about the most common regular job you could have where you'd get punched in the face.
Yeah.
Right? But a man listening to the show at that time could not get past the flagger story.
Yeah.
Because he didn't see it like we did.
So he saw a different version of this?
Well, according to him, we were being unfair to the man accused of this crime.
Of just randomly assaulting people?
And he wanted us to hear about it. Actual physical letters sent through the mail telling us we suck, wanting us fired, defending assaulteers. Sit back and enjoy today's. Oh, by the way, I'm sorry, before I got to let you know.
Yeah.
This letter was sent by a man, but Billy Kidd, who is our normal reader, is on vacation.
All right.
So Kimmy is stepping up in the role of man today.
Oh, so it'll be a deeper voice.
Sit back and enjoy today's Hate Mail of the Week.
I heard a story on your show about a man who punched a construction worker. You laid into this man and made fun of him, but you only had one side of the story. We didn't get to hear why the man who punched the construction worker felt like he had to. People don't just do things for no reason, and I understand why someone would get frustrated when you drive through a construction site and see a bunch of lazy people making money on my dime. You want my respect? Do your job in an efficient and timely manner. Don't hold me up for no reason. Don't pretend like you're some official making me go to different places I don't want to go. No one gave them that authority. If you would have interviewed the man who punched the construction worker on the radio, well, maybe it would have given you a side of the story you didn't consider. And you may have looked differently at this man who was punched that only wanted to play the victim. Sincerely, hurt.
Okay, so first off, we have to say these are all allegations.
Yeah.
He allegedly punched a flagger at the construction
site. All right.
Second, the story we told, Tommy, was according to the police report.
Yes.
It's not like we had the flagger on the air telling us the story and it was only his side.
According to this person, we should have.
Well, no, what I'm saying.
Oh, the flag.
We did not have the flagger
at
all.
No.
He wasn't playing the victim, right? This is what authorities say happened to him, right? Like, we're not over here running pro-construction worker propaganda. But this letter, along with some other things the last few months, is a little alarming.
Wait, what are you saying?
252-WCMF, 252-9263. Do people hate construction workers right now?
Sounds like it. A little bit.
A little bit?
A little bit.
Do you hate construction workers?
No, I love construction workers. I look at their cranes and their trucks all the time.
You didn't say that very enthusiastically.
Well, backflips.
You appreciate construction workers when they're not in your way.
I think that's everybody, right?
No, well, no,
I don't hate them. They're going to run them over.
Well, I had asked, do you hate them? He's like, no, no, which is Tommy for absolutely.
I don't speed around them. 51, come on, man.
We'll get back to that. Look, it seems hard to get mad at someone for just doing their job.
Right.
But as we like to say, if Kurt, who wrote us this letter, feels this way, he can't be alone. Do most people see them as lazy? Do they think they're just wasting our time? I'm going to ask you a question.
What's that?
We're an honest show.
Right.
When you drive through a construction site,
yeah.
Do you think those construction workers are being lazy?
No. I mean, it's a tough job.
Okay.
I mean, flag guys got a little easy. I mean, you know. I mean, there's a jackhammer guy killing himself.
Flag guy's responsible for the safety of everybody on that crew.
I understand. It doesn't look as physically exerting to do it.
Okay.
So I always figured the weakest guy gets to do that job.
Oh. The weakest guy is the flag.
Yeah, like little Gary or somebody like that. Let little Gary do the flags.
Little Mo with the gimpy legs?
Yeah, yeah. He can't pick up the sledgehammer, so let him do the sign. Because you see, like, they look a little bit more frail. You never see a big, burly guy doing it.
Okay. You do, but that's a whole... Well.
Never do. It's usually a chick or a guy who looks like me.
Okay. Look, you're saying all the right things other than what you just said about construction worker. Mm. But, Tommy, there What's is that? Another story recently that you were involved in that could be another red flag about how people feel about construction workers. The construction cameras.
Yes.
You got 3 tickets at the Freddie Sue Bridge?
Yeah.
Okay. In September? And you weren't alone. It popped tens of thousands of
people. Oh, they made millions of dollars off that one camera.
I don't think they made millions.
Bro, that camera now lives next to Brother Weeze in Fort Lauderdale. That's how rich you got.
But that camera was there and in other construction sites across the state to protect the health of the folks working on the roads. Yeah. And when I argued that to you, you didn't want to hear it.
No, because I said if it's so important to protect these workers, put a police officer with a sidearm and a squad car and a radio.
But that police officer can only pull over one person at a time. That camera's going to get everybody.
That gun's got 10 bullets, son.
You're going to shoot speeders. You're fine with that, but you're upset that you got a ticket.
Warning shot over that over your hood of your car.
Okay.
And I also got a nightstick and mace.
We heard interviews, Kimmy, every day for a week on the news from people who got these camera tickets, right?
Because they hit them and they scammed you.
But here's the thing. What? Folks put their name and face on television saying the whole thing was a scam. Mm. And they had no problem arguing against the safety of the people who were in that work site at the moment. Am I wrong?
No, you're right.
You did the same thing. You argued against the safety. In fact, when
if you would have put a squad car there, I would have slowed down.
Again, why would you not slow down just because they're there?
Oh, I didn't know.
You did, actually. It said construction site. It also told you the camera was there. Kimmy.
Yeah.
When there was a story 3 weeks ago that the union workers, the union construction, excuse me, let me try this again, union for the construction workers wanted these cameras at every work site in New York, you, along with other people, flipped out.
Yeah.
Do they not deserve to be safe?
Yes, but I think there's better ways to not break the backs of working people trying to get to their jobs than the sneaky cameras.
So you'd then rather risk the literal breaking of backs of working people, construction workers, with people speeding through?
No. I want to go back to the old days.
Like?
When we used the officers.
What?
And the radar gun.
He wants a police officer with a radar, gun.
Radar
he doesn't think he would have
gotten
pulled
Old school
over.
Radar gun.
Okay. Yeah, sure.
Back like they used to do in the 1950s.
252 WCMF. 252-9263. We got folks waiting on hold. Let's start with a construction worker.
All right, there you go.
RJ's on CMF. RJ, do you feel hated right now, buddy?
No.
Oh, good. Okay, that's good. Go ahead, RJ. I'm sorry. RJ?
Yeah.
Go ahead, buddy.
All right.
Did you called us, right?
No.
Okay, great. Thanks for the call. 252-WCMF. Let's talk to Tom. Hey, Tom. How are you, buddy?
Yeah, I think he holds the flag.
Good, how are you?
Good, Tom. What's going on?
RJ, get that flag out.
What's up, Tom?
So I was working on Lyle Avenue, and they were working on the road and the sidewalk at the same time. A guy on a motorcycle tried to avoid the construction on the road, went up onto the sidewalk, almost hit a construction worker. The guy yelled or something. The construction yelled back at the motorcycle. He spun that bike back around and came up to that guy holding the shovel. That guy was fear for his life. Everyone was, like, frozen.
Well, what happened?
He got back on the bike, but when he spun it around and went back after him, it looked like there was going to be a big problem.
Yeah, I'd say so.
But a problem he caused.
Yeah, like, what,
you know what I mean?
What leg do you have to stand on in that? Well,
you remember when you almost hit me in a place you shouldn't have been driving?
Can I not drive on the sidewalk in America? Huh? Is this not a
on my motorcycle
free country?
It is amazing when people get upset for a problem that they cause for themselves. You know what I mean? Like, how dare you react that way to me almost killing you?
All right, Tom, do you think that people are hating construction workers right now?
I would say 50-50 from what we've heard so far
and
what we've seen. Yeah.
All right, Tom, thanks for the call, buddy. Have a good rest of the day.
Do you think 50% of people hate him? Like, hate them?
I think it's one of those things where you don't think you're going to be that guy until you're affected by it, until you get that ticket, until it inconveniences you, and then you may have some things to say.
I mean, look, you heard 252WCMF, Hate Mail of the Week. Kurt writes us a letter coming off of a story that we talked about, this flagger, construction flagger, getting allegedly assaulted by some guy who would not stop driving through when he was told to stop, says that they're lazy. In this letter, he called them lazy, said that they're working on his dime. That's my tax money. I mean, like, you people know we do this oppression and make fun of you, right? And then they just keep continue, right? Like, he calls them all lazy, collecting money for doing no work, right? Working slow. You don't think there's half of America thinks that? Half of Rochester thinks that?
I mean, but to say you hate them, it sounds a little strong.
Okay, maybe hate is the wrong word. Maybe hate is
like frustrated sometimes. And everybody gets frustrated. I mean, I bet you those guys that do that job get frustrated when they're out driving around.
Oh,
you think that they get frustrated? You don't think they judge those guys? Even though they work in construction, they're pissed that other people doing construction?
You know, it's like when a waitress goes out to dinner and then she...
They're more critical sometimes.
They're super critical.
Yeah, but here's the difference.
I don't lay those cones out like that. That's how you do that shovel.
But if you are a construction worker that's frustrated with other construction crews, you're in the business. You know how this is supposed to go.
True.
You don't.
I know.
Do you, though?
I have a shovel.
Well, this might be the most glaring suburban guy catch-22.
What's that?
Well, look, we bitch and moan that the roads are torn up.
Well, yeah, you have to do this work.
Right? Bridges feel unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. We need turning lanes here. We need street lights there. And then these folks come out to make these improvements. Like you said, you need the work. And we freak out about how much time it takes to get where we want to go.
Mm-hmm.
What other way is there to do this?
I know. But even like you, when you got to run your kid to hockey, and now you're going to have 490 tied up because you're redoing all these overpasses, and you're going to have to take these side streets, your anxiety is going to be at 10.
You're right. And I went through it last week. But I've never like focused that on the guys, gals working.
No, but you can feel the anxiety building up inside you basically because they're doing their job.
Okay. No, don't you try and bring me in with you.
Well, no, to his point, I think people make blanket statements like, oh, this construction, it'll go on forever. You know, it's gonna take too long. But in a way, you're still kind of insulting the people that are doing the job by saying,
I had to take Monroe Avenue at 5 o'clock. I can't believe it. I had to take these back streets all the way to Fairport.
By saying it's not going fast enough.
I live in Henrietta. That's too far of a drive.
No, I was more upset with your bitch-ass Pittsford drivers than I was with the construction workers.
Don't shift your frustration around.
Well, am I wrong?
Everybody's in the same
boat.
You
want to play it back? You
want to
play it back?
We're all forced to go down the same road, my man.
No, we weren't. I had multiple roads and I took Pittsford. Too much. And I will never do it again because your bitch-ass Pittsford drivers don't know how to work Monroe
Ave. All these pointless stores. Who needs an alpaca socks?
All right, look. To your point. It's also a valid argument. To your point.
What?
We're all guilty of frustration because of construction. We've all been the first person stopped in that one-lane traffic when they let 20 cars through ahead.
And we all want to put a face to our pain.
Okay. But to write a letter after the fact suggesting this flagger may have been deserved punch in the face.
Obviously not.
Or to keep screaming about getting a ticket for going over a speed limit while people are working.
Yeah, that's ridiculous. You shouldn't do that.
Okay.
I also want to put out there, if you're getting yelled at by a construction worker, you're probably doing something wrong. I'm just going to go ahead and assume.
Well, he may
that.
Be under your car. That's why he's yelling.
But you know what's funny?
What?
Like, you and I are both very anti-authority, right? Mm-hmm. Like, you're not going to tell me what to do. Yeah. I don't know what it is about being a construction site. I have that, like, third grade teacher anxiety.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Whoa, but I don't.
No.
Like, I want
I
them
didn't
to,
need to.
I want them to look at me like my hands at 10 and 2, slow, going right to speed. I want them to be like, that's the best construction driver I've ever
you
seen.
You want to get that big thumbs up.
Yes. I don't know why.
That's a way to pull through.
I'm never going to interact with.
Following the rules.
Yes. I'm never going to interact with these men and women in person, like, ever, right? But, like, that Honda Pilot did it right.
The Recap Show is an inside look for fans into the world of global soccer, women's sports, and all things gal culture.
From the inside perspective of two World Cup champions and Olympians.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Look, there are things people right now simply cannot afford.
Oh, yeah.
Money, not in the budget, we can't do it.
So what are we doing?
This cannot be one of those things.
Oh.
It's such a tradition. It's not going to crush your monthly budget.
But you're still going to spend even though you're bitching.
Look, I would have thought so, but if what we are seeing here is true, it feels like money is being used as an excuse to avoid something that every parent sees as a massive headache this time of year.
So what's coming up this time of year?
You're hanging out in the break room. That's just Classic Rock, 96.5 WCMF. Tommy?
Yeah, buddy.
Almost one half of Americans say they are not dying Easter eggs this year on account of the price of eggs.
Oh, ooh. My God. Wait, half are bailing?
One half American say
you've been
this.
Dying to bail on this for years.
All right,
right?
So yeah. Right now, we just looked it up on Instacart. The price of eggs, a dozen eggs at Wegmans will run you around $6. And that's obviously, that's expensive for eggs.
Oh, yeah.
Right? But the eggs costing you $6 and the dyeing kit running you about $1. You're going to tell me that $7, $8 is too much of a backbreaker?
Too much expensive Jesus for my blood.
Okay, I don't know. Well, the eggs aren't really a Jesus.
Well, it's part of
the bunny thing.
It's Jesus season.
I mean, look, I'm not
dying
arguing.
These eggs for Jesus.
Well, we kind of are. It's celebration of Easter, right? All part of it.
I don't know how the eggs became a part of.
I don't either. It just kind of seems like a waste overall. I mean, so egg prices are not.
Let me ask you this. So dyeing the eggs is one thing.
Yeah.
Are they just, what about Easter egg hunt?
Well, I mean, you can buy plastic,
like plastic eggs. Oh, you film with candy. Yeah.
All right.
But I guess there are people that do Easter egg hunts with real eggs.
I would think those are way more expensive to just dye in the eggs.
Oh, no, Easter egg. The plastic Easter eggs are super cheap.
Yeah, but you got to put money in toys.
Yeah, but you can
and
use them year after year.
And but I mean, like,
I put like jelly beans in them. What do you mean money?
Jelly beans.
Yeah, the kids just want to go find the eggs when they're little. They don't care.
I want
what's
some
in them.
Chocolate.
Okay, that's why they don't have
or money.
That's why they don't have grown man Easter egg hunts. Stupid.
All right.
So here's the thing.
All right. So. You've been dying to not dye these eggs, I'm guessing.
That's just it.
Yeah.
If one half of Americans are actually skipping the egg dyeing like they say they are this year, the reason is you were looking for any reason to not dye Easter eggs.
Yeah, it's a lot of work and not a lot of fun.
Okay, it's past that.
And your kids suck at it.
All right. Dyeing eggs is the worst holiday tradition that anyone ever came up with. The dye gets everywhere
right.
when you're doing it. The counter is stained sometimes for the rest of the life of your home.
Some of the eggs are going to crack when you boil them.
You got that. You got that like weird-ass egg thing sticking out the side of it. Your kids have an expectation of what the eggs are supposed to look like based on the box, and they never come out that way, and that causes egg kid drama. The prep for egg dyeing sucks.
Those kits you got to buy?
Okay.
Where you got to mix it with the water and stuff?
It's past that. It's not water. You got to put like vinegar in there.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, my kids loved dyeing eggs when they were little.
Yeah.
And when that kit came out, they were ready to go right away. Right, let's dye eggs. But you got to boil the eggs.
Yeah.
Right? You have to let the eggs cool enough where your kids aren't going to scald their hands putting them in the dye.
No, you speak for yourself.
Then you have to give time for the color tablets to break down in, like, the vinegar. So the hour you're waiting for everything, your kids are asking, can we dye them yet? Can we dye them yet? Every 5 minutes, you want to leave your house forever.
Yeah.
And while we're on a rant here.
What's that?
How in the 100 years of egg dyeing technology have they not invented a better holder for the eggs when you put them in the
dye? Oh, that little spoony thing?
Oh, it's like a little wiry spoon.
The bendable wiry spoon. You put the egg in the little hole. It never holds the egg. The egg tips out sideways. It falls through the bottom. Year after year.
Splash.
Since the beginning of time, we get the same metal thing, and my kids would burst into tears because the whole egg fell in the orange dye, and they didn't want their whole egg to be orange.
Yeah, and then it's all over.
And I'm dealing with it.
So have you seen these kits, I think they're like on Amazon and stuff, where it's almost this little spinny thing you put the egg in. I don't think you're using dye. They use like markers, some kind of like watercolor markers or something.
Oh, and it spins around.
And it spins, and you can color the egg instead of dye it. Oh, it's not that it's like $5.
Yeah, it's coming from China. Yeah. It's one of those cheap-ass things, okay. Right? But, okay, I guess.
I mean, your kids are getting quite the same experience, but it's got to be easier for you as a parent.
Look, what's
the
age cutoff of dyeing eggs, by the way?
Well, I mean, it varies, right? There are some kids that are done when they're out of elementary school. There are some people that do this as adults.
There are some adults that do it for the aesthetic.
Yeah.
Put out the eggs.
Oh.
So you have them all
different
colors.
And by the way, so it's a hard-boiled egg.
Yeah.
It's going to rot.
Yes,
yeah, I know. That's what I mean. It's kind of like a waste because who wants to eat that many hard-boiled eggs?
You'd have to
once?
Throw them out. But if you set them out for a while, a day or two, you'd have to throw them out.
Yeah, I know. People will do it right before Easter and then have them out for when people come over, like put them in like ice buckets and stuff then, like move it forward.
What a lot of work.
But you do bring up another question.
What's that?
252 WCMF, one half Americans say they will not be dyeing eggs this year because of the cost of eggs, which I know they're expensive, but like it's $8 altogether. You can't tell me that's breaking your monthly budget. You don't want to do it because it's a mess, and I get it. What did you guys do with the eggs when you were done dyeing them when you were a kid? Did you dye eggs when you were a kid?
Yeah, I think everybody did, but I couldn't even tell you what my mother did with them.
What did your family do with them, Kimmy?
So wherever we went to Easter brunch, the eggs came with us.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. You brought them to somebody's house.
Yeah, so whether, you know, give people the chance to eat them,
How many goddamn eggs are you going to eat? Like, especially a hard-boiled egg.
No, right.
Egg.
And as a kid, you don't want the hard-boiled egg.
No, hard-boiled eggs as a kid, it sucks. It's a dry-ass egg.
I loved egg-salad sandwiches when
I was a kid. Well, that's different because you load it up with mayonnaise.
Well, yeah, but you can make egg salad sandwiches with the hard-boiled
How
egg.
How many of those are you going to eat?
I will eat egg salad sandwiches till they disappear.
So I hated them because that was my mother's go-to quick sandwich.
No, I remember. She makes me one when I'm done every night. Like, really, really goopy, too.
What's it goopy with?
Was it the only? I'm not eating my own batch.
That's what you just said.
No, I was going to make a joke.
Was she using her muff juice to make your goddamn
That's
egg salad?
That's your mother, man.
You're the one banging her and asking for a sandwich.
I was going to make your mother's goopy while my sandwich is goopy, but you had to go there.
But I said mayonnaise, which means semen.
How do you gross me out on my own your mom banging
Because
joke?
I don't think you thought it through when you were eating your egg white sandwich.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'll have a better plan next time I'm banging your mom.
Eat your sandwich, get out of my house.
Now, here's the thing.
Yeah.
Kimmy, you remember this when you were a kid. Like, every egg, a little bit of the dye got through to the egg.
Oh, it gets on the actual egg.
Yeah, I don't really know if that was
seepage.
Healthy.
Is that safe?
I hope so.
Well, that's edible dye, isn't
it? But who knows?
It's like food coloring, I thought.
I don't know.
I feel like up until, like the mid-2000s, nobody paid attention to that stuff.
But mid-2000, like 2 years ago, nobody paid attention to that stuff, right? Like, I don't know. I always assumed it was safe to eat. Right.
It ain't going to kill you if you get a little lead or a little paint on you.
No, the lead's bad.
Yeah.
You know how much lead you got to eat to actually get sick?
Yeah, actually, there's been several studies done.
Yeah, I mean, like years of it.
I don't think that's true.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, you didn't put it like that.
Yeah.
252 WCMF, 252-9263. Victor's on CMF. Hey, Victor, how are you, buddy?
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
So a couple things. So I use food dye when we're doing eggs.
Okay.
I've never bought those kits. It's like, it takes like 2 seconds. You pour the vinegar, you dye the vinegar, and then that's it.
So that food dye sticks? It sticks to the eggs?
Yeah, it works great.
Okay.
Yeah, I think my mom used to do that.
Who the hell's dyeing eggs on a countertop without like a tablecloth?
My family for my whole life.
All right. And then hard-boiled eggs, they stay like good for a while in the fridge.
Listen to Martha Stewart over here.
Take one on your lunch.
What you have to do is you take the food coloring and put it in the vinegar. Lay down your white cloth to catch any seepage. Shut up, Victor.
I mean, eggs don't last forever in your fridge, man.
What do you do with the eggs when you're done with them?
Our tradition was we'd always paint the eggs the day before, and then my parents would go out and hide them out in the lawn, and we'd go find them in the morning, and then we put them in the fridge, then we eat them. My dad would take them for lunch.
Eat your dirty lawn eggs.
Seriously.
Well, you're going to make a lot of egg-themed meals.
Yeah, they do have a shell.
They have a wrapper on the egg.
And they can be stored in the refrigerator for up to a week.
Okay, but again, you got to eat a dozen eggs in a week.
Right. Yeah. That's a ton of eggs, man.
I mean, I don't know. Maybe a smaller family might be harder to do, but...
All right, well, hey, Victor.
They make six packs of eggs.
Victor, thank you for all that dynamite egg information, buddy.
You have a great one.
All right, there goes Victor. I'm telling you, our dining room table when I was a kid...
Yeah.
It was nothing but stains
from
eggs.
Well, was it already, ruined anyway, so your mom probably just like, whatever.
Well, yeah, I mean,
Your house was trashed, man.
I'm not the only house that had this problem. I'm telling you. Right now, half our audience has stained counters and dining room tables from egg dye that got through. It got through the protective barrier and lives there forever. You know, I'm telling you, man, like, the reason Easter egg dying is dying, if it is it's the biggest holiday tradition pain in the ass. Like, mm-hmm. Even if you look at all the other stuff for other holidays, like making Christmas cookies is tough, but in the end, you get cookies.
Yeah.
Right? Having to buy Halloween candy sucks, but you also get to munch on candy while you're hanging it out. The only other holiday kid tradition that comes close to the frustration of egg dying is building a gingerbread house.
That's almost impossible. Yeah. That's like legitimate construction.
Yeah.
You have to have load-bearing cookies.
I think you only do that once. Before you realize this isn't as easy as it looks, and now I'm done.
And, like, you don't even get to eat the gingerbread house when you're done.
No, because it's got glue, unless you're my father, but yeah, it's got glue and cardboard support.
Danny writes us on Instagram, again, Duffy on WCMF, the easiest way to get us. Eggs come out of a chicken's ass, and Tommy is worried about eating eggs after they were on a dirty lawn. Valid point by Danny there.
Right.
Valid point by Danny. No, I'm like, my kids haven't even brought it up this year, so I think I'm going to be able to skate.
Well, they should be old enough where they probably don't care.
Yeah.
Again, like.
Like you're an adult.
But some kids, like, hold on to those traditions just because it's comforting.
How much would it be cost to buy the ones that are already pre-done? Like, you know, Wegmans sells those ones that are already, like, died.
Oh, I've never seen those. They do?
Yeah. Well, they do in my store.
Does Pittsford Wegmans sell pre-dyed eggs?
Yes, they do.
What are those
for? Well, they're all designed.
That's literally just for decoration.
But I think they're legitimate eggs.
Okay.
They do. So
I've never heard of this before in my life.
I haven't either.
You are making this up.
No, I'm telling. Maybe it's just a Pittsburgh story because we're so affluent, and y'all's poor. But yeah.
But then what's the point though? Because you're not.
Well,
doing
you get to meet the
kids.
Artists and stuff like that. He'll sign the eggs, and then there's usually like a little talk if you want to go to that, and there's usually like a wine pairing.
You know what really bothers me?
What?
I know that, like, you know, they have like food artists, right? Like when you see a Big Mac in a commercial, that's like put together by someone who does that.
Oh yeah, they do it for a living, yeah.
Right? But like, I also understand that the eggs on the box are done by those people.
Yeah.
But I have never dyed an egg in my life that comes anywhere close to what the box egg looks like.
You can't.
I've been doing this for 38 years.
Yeah,
not even close.
That's a studio egg.
Thank you. Like, why can't I get whatever you guys got for that? And then, like, this wasn't a thing when you were a kid.
What's that?
The egg kits will also come with, like, this, like, foil or plastic that you can wrap around the eggs that are, like, designs.
Oh.
And, like, when you see it on the box, it's just seamless.
So right? It did look like a pattern.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, like, when you try and wrap it around an oblong egg, mm-hmm. like, there's always one end sticking up, like, there's a bubble over here. Yeah. And, like, daddy, it doesn't look like it. God, it sucks. Sucks so hard. The only thing I'm going to miss are the 15 egg salad sandwiches.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love that mayonnaise.
All right, let's take a break.
At my mom's house.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
So here's the thing.
What's the thing?
Look, I when you find out what they think this is going to go for, I'm going to agree with you. It's stunning.
Oh.
Although it is one of the most unique pieces of sports memorabilia you're going to find on the market right now.
Oh.
That being said, I didn't think enough people still revered this guy or even knew who he was.
So he's not like one of your top-tier dudes.
Well, but here's the thing. He kind of is. It's just he had a weird career where he exploded for this one specific thing.
Oh. All right. So he had a move.
I'm going to let you decide because you were alive for this.
Because you said my brothers would love this.
I think your brothers would go nuts for this.
And they're in their late 70s.
Yes.
All right.
You're hanging out in the break room. Rochester's Classic Rock, 96.5. WCMF. We'll jump right into it. There is a game-worn Yankees jersey that's about to go up for auction.
Okay.
And this jersey was worn during a record-setting season that had the entire country watching two teammates go back and forth. That jersey was worn by Roger Maris.
Oh, my God.
During his home run record-setting 61 homer season in 1961.
It was early. Yeah, it was.
One?
Yeah, something like that.
61 and 61. Kimmy, can we Google that?
So this is a jersey?
It is a wool jersey that he wore during the season. Now, here's the thing. It is not the jersey he wore during when he hit the home run.
Yeah.
He had wore it when he hit number 59, okay. I guess. So it was worn during the race.
Yeah.
In 2022, the jersey was sold to a private collector for $250,000.
God damn.
Do you want to guess what Sotheby's, who will be auctioning it off, estimates it's going to go for now?
Well, you say this stuff's going out of control, right?
Yeah.
Mill?
They're estimating it goes between $1 and $2
million. Yeah, I would think auction. If it was $250 before, then the craze hit. And by the way, how unique, right?
Yeah.
How many of these things are even around?
I mean, this is literally one of a kind.
Yeah.
All right. So, Kimmy, what year was the home run race?
1961.
All right, so 61 and 61.
Yeah, and they made a movie about it, for God's sake.
Yeah, and it had Sean Penn.
Oh, who was in it?
He was Roger Maris.
He was?
Wasn't he?
I don't think so.
Google it.
No, I don't think
so. Yeah, remember that scene where Sean Penn or Roger Maris had sex with Madonna? Okay, so here's the thing.
I think he would have been arrested.
You're talking about the movie in 2001?
It's called 61.
Yeah.
Yep. Barry Pepper.
Yeah, the look-alike of Sean Penn.
Sean Penn played Roger Maris.
I don't think so, bro. They don't even look like
the same. It's a different guy.
Kimmy, there's another movie where Sean Penn played Roger Maris. Look, I swear to God. Google Sean Penn, Roger Maris.
Are you thinking of Fast Times at Ridgemont High?
Yeah.
Mr. Spigoli.
Roger Spigmaris. Shut up.
I'm not seeing the correlation.
Maybe he played Mickey Mantle. None of this matters.
Mickey Mantle. That's a man's man.
See. Roger Maris wasn't a man's man?
No, but Sean Penn don't look like
Sean
Mickey
Penn Battle. Played a Yankee. I remember watching the made-for-TV movie on HBO.
Hold on.
Google.
Oh, no, he played Billy Martin.
Shut up.
Billy Martin story.
You know, he played Billy Crystal. I'm a Yankee here and I'm over there. We're saying words nobody knows right now.
Sean Penn played a baseball player in The Rookie.
No. Damn it!
Because he played a former baseball player.
Making me so mad.
Looking,
I watched this movie when I was a kid. It was on HBO all the time. He played a Yankee. Doesn't matter. 252 WCMF or Twitter or Instagram, Duffy on WCMF. What I'm getting at is this.
Yes, sir.
Now, I want to say, before I say what I say, I am not taking away from the career Roger Maris had, right? He is an unbelievable baseball player. He held that record until 1998, 99.
Yeah.
Okay. That being said, I didn't think enough casual sports fans knew who Roger Maris was anymore to make this jersey worth between a mil and two.
No, I think you're right. I mean, it was just a moment in time. I mean, nobody. I don't think he's listed. When you think of the Yankee greats, he's not first mentioned. You're probably 10 deep before you get to Roger Maris when you talk about the greats of Yankee history.
I would argue 20 deep, but that's a whole.
It could be.
I don't want to even have that argument.
But unless you're outside, unless you're a deep Yankee guy, you're right.
Because look, I mean, he doesn't own the record for home runs anymore, and I get that he had that major resurgence when Sosa and McGuire were
chasing
the record.
But kids wouldn't know this.
So much
guy
has had happened since then.
And like
gets
to
forgotten.
And to Tommy's point, like your brothers were alive during this home run
race. Oh yeah, they were Yankee fans. Like Mickey Mantle and all that stuff. They would cry.
But they're how old?
They're 70s.
Okay,
late 70s. I would say your husband's a big baseball guy.
Mm-hmm.
How old is he?
He's 36.
So he might be the cutoff of guys that love baseball that know who Roger Maris is and would care. Right?
It's funny. Like there were two names that resurfaced when I was a kid that I had. And you know what a deep sports fan I am.
Yeah.
I had no idea who they were. When Cal Ripken broke Lou Gehrig's record, I had never heard of Lou Gehrig until that moment.
Really?
That
famous, where he's dying.
Today? I consider myself the luckiest man.
Are you though, Roger? Really?
I think that was the...
Yeah.
That's what he was saying.
Oh.
And then I had no idea who Roger Maris was until the McGuire-Sosa chase.
Yeah.
And the funny part is, right, like the record's been broken at least four times. Sosa did it.
Yeah.
McGuire did it. Bonds did it. And then Aaron Judge passed it two seasons ago.
Yes.
Right? He got over
61. Yeah.
Okay. Aaron Judge, pending, is the only one who did it without the aid of performance-enhancing drugs.
Right. So, I mean, it's so far in the past. Because, my dad worked, when my dad was in the Navy up here, they had a lot of celebrity guys that were in the Navy because they didn't want them to actually get hurt.
Sure, yeah.
So they trained up here. So one of them, you may know the name of this guy. He was the only guy at the time that threw consecutive no-hitters in Major League Baseball. And he was in my dad's unit back in the day. And there was a boxer named Willie Pep.
I know Willie Pep. Your dad trained Willie Pep?
So he was like pound for pound the greatest boxer that ever lived at the time. But when my dad told me these things, I had no idea what he was talking about. But they were like household names when he was a kid.
Your dad was in the Navy with John Vandermeer? Vandermeer?
Yeah.
No
so,
kidding.
Yeah, so they both were up here at the Finger Lakes Naval Training Center.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Look at that.
Yeah.
By the way, again, Willie Pep, I know, but I'm a nerd.
But those were household names of my dad. But the time I was a kid, I didn't know what the hell he was talking about.
And that's what's so interesting about this is, again, Roger Maris, game-worn jersey from the 61 season when he broke the home run record hitting 61 home runs. The jersey he wore when he hit 59 is going up for auction. They're estimating, despite the fact that it only sold for only $250,000 three years ago, that it will sell for between $1 million and $2 million at this auction. Like, let's say I get this Roger Maris jersey and I put it under glass and I hang it in my house. Like, what percentage of people that walk through my house would I have to explain who Roger Maris is?
It would be such a low percentage because take every woman out of the picture. Take every young person out of the picture.
Kimmy, did you know who Roger Maris was? Like, did you know that name before we started talking?
Yeah, but only because my dad was a Yankees fan.
Okay, all right. No, I understand how disrespectful that sounded. I meant age, not lady.
No, but again, it's a really small percentage. And then even if they know, would they even care? You know what I mean?
Made out of wool, though. It's pretty cool.
Oh, you didn't tell me wool.
No, I didn't tell you.
One of your top fabrics.
It's a good jersey.
So Barry Bonds still holds the Major League Baseball season single season record.
Yes, but what I meant
is Aaron Judge has the Yankees and American League.
So if you want to go by like the curmudgeon,
mm-hmm.
Aaron Judge holds the real record because he's the one that has yet to be proven that he was on.
Sure.
Okay. Performance enhancing.
Even though he kind of looks like he's on some.
I don't know, man. You keep saying it's steroids in the milk keep making everybody bigger.
Well, that's true.
You know, you want to believe that it would be impossible to get away with that stuff now, but probably not. I don't know.
Yeah.
I've become so cynical as a sports fan. Like, you're doing something.
It kind of seems like they're working in other ways. Like, I know, like, there's all the controversy over the bats or the ball or the way the parks are built. You know, like, everybody has an argument for why one person's record stands and not the other. There's so many variables.
It's the only sport, but this will never go away.
Yeah, no, I don't think so. You're right.
But it also makes it interesting, I think.
I get it. Well, it gives everybody something to bitch about because the goddamn game is so slow.
It gives certain people
the game isn't slow anymore.
Well, it's because they're using those torpedo bats.
They got the pitch. I like baseball.
We saved the torpedoes for the enemy.
Willie Pep did.
Yes.
In Geneva. No, I mean, I guess, like, if you're going to take away one thing here, other than the fact that Roger Maris' jersey that he didn't even hit the home run, the record home run, and is going to go for between $1 and $2 million. That's insane. Like, what you have to do as a human being to be remembered forever is so astronomical.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, that guy was the most, he set the most unbelievable record, by far in the most popular sport in America at the time, playing for the most popular team. And there are lots of folks that have no idea who he is.
Yeah. But now, because everything's recorded, will the same emotion be there? Because like everything now I can see and what was noticed.
So you're saying people will be remembered more?
No, what if it's watered down? So like Rory McIlroy had that unbelievable Masters tournament,
where he's
emotionally breaking down.
Yeah.
But next month there's going to be something else that's going to take over and flood the internet. So is it get washed away?
That's a good question.
You know what I mean? It doesn't mean as much anymore because there's just so much out there.
Yeah,
but you can also physically see whatever you're interested in, which I would think would help make a lasting memory of that person.
I guess
Like we can only imagine what it looked like.
Well, they have video of him hitting that.
Right, but like it's not, there's one angle, one video, you know what I mean? Like you're not getting interviews after. You're not getting this person's whole life. Yeah. You know,
it was him,
know everything about these baseball, like these athletes.
This might have been the first sports thing where that did happen because he and Mickey Mantle were fighting for this record. They were neck and neck the whole time.
Everybody, I understand, like on the field. Yes. I'm talking about off the
field. That famous
audio. That's what we're trying to tell you.
But you knew nothing about his personal life. You knew rumors,
a little bit.
That people said, but you can't go back and Google it, see it. You don't know. You can't find out those small details about them.
There was that one special audio when they were talking. I think when they interviewed him and what he said, Roger Maris.
Oh, Roger Maris. What did that sound like when they were?
When I was up to the plane, I wasn't feeling so good today. I ate a clam sandwich earlier. I got it from a street vendor. And I don't know if it was refrigerated. And then I had a couple of Easter eggs. But my mother made them for me, and we had to dye it. But back then, we used real paint when we dyed them eggs.
It was the 60s. You were alive for this. You were alive for this.
I had the trots all day, too. So you may want to buy my shorts. Those shorts are not going to go for no $1 million, I'll tell you that much.
Yeah, you're not getting poo out of wool.
No.
Okay.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.